Luke chapter number 6, verse number 43. You are quite possibly, if you're saved, or if you claim that you're saved, you quite possibly are the only gospel that some people will ever hear preached. And that's very sad in most situations, in most cases. I spent a good deal of my lifetime seeing a lot of false gospel, seeing a lot of false prophets and false apostles, folks that said they were Christian, folks that said they were saved, and they knew nothing of what they spoke of. Luke 6:43, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, or bramble bushes gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And if the Lord helped me this morning, I just want to give you a simple presentation of the gospel and the change that it makes in the life of a believer. This morning, most folks that I see today that call the name of Christ and use the word Christian and call themselves Christ-like or Christians, for the most part, when it boils right down to it, most of those individuals are lost as a ball in high weeds. I'm just being honest, out of the thousands and thousands of people that I know that would tell you they're Baptist, they're saved, they're on their way to heaven, I know a very small handful of people that I really believe in my heart really know God, have ever really genuinely experienced the new birth and know what it is to truly be born of the Spirit of God. We live in a generation today where people think that salvation is a thing, and you just do a thing and you get a thing, and it doesn't have any profound change on your life. It doesn't make any profound statement about who you are. It's just that, you know, you're saved. Now you don't have to go to hell. I sort of thought that when I was growing up, and I don't know where I got that from. Sister Laura and I've talked about this. But I always thought that salvation was going to an altar. A lot of folks think salvation is catechism, confirmation, or taking of some religious ordinance in the church, and that gets you saved, and therefore you get to go to heaven when you die. And Brother Mark, I really had no clue that I had developed the idea in my mind that salvation is just going to an altar and admitting that you're lost and asking God to save you, and then you're baptized and you join the church. And I thought that's what salvation was. But what I really did not understand, that salvation makes a profound change in who you literally are, so different as night from day. Can you imagine the difference in Lazarus? And Lord, let me preach. I'm going to preach on this sometime in the next little bit. Lazarus, when he came forth from that grave, when Jesus told him to arise, he had been dead in that tomb for 4 days, and Jesus told him to get up. Was there not a profound difference in that man?
Yes.
And it's equally the same, any man, woman, boy, or girl who's truly born of the Spirit of God. If you're 8 years old or 80 years old, it makes no difference. When you're truly born of the Spirit of God, there is a profound change made in your life. And I know a lot of Baptist folks today, and I say Baptist because that's the people that I know, and they think you can go to an altar, you can pray a prayer, and you can go ahead and live the rest of your life any way you want to live, do whatever you want to do, and then when you die, you get to go to heaven. And God is some kind of heavenly grandpa that's leaning on a stick. He's got a gray beard, and he would never do bad to anybody. And you just tell God you're sorry when you get to heaven. I'm sorry, friend. It doesn't work that way. As a matter of fact, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7 says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. You don't have to be afraid of that, child of God. That is in your Bible. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed, God's seed, his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. When I look at this scripture, a lot of people raise an eyebrow at the thought that there is some idea of sinless perfection. And Brother Jesse, I don't teach for a minute that in this flesh there is sinless perfection. I still live with my Adam nature. I still mess up pretty regular. And I'm real sorry about that. But Brother Jesse, I am not what I used to be. I am not the same man, Brother Mark, that I was 20 years ago. I am not. And the Word of God says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. The word commit means to abide with contentment. This morning, I'm just going to say this very honestly and straightforward and sincerely. If you are content to abide with sin in your life, you're lost. Amen. You're unregenerate. You're not backslid. You didn't just drift away from God. You're lost. Amen. That's real simple. That's not difficult to discern. The Word of God says that if you're saved, you cannot commit sin. That means to abide with contentment with sin in your life. That doesn't make you perfect, Brother Jesse. I've been saved for 20 years. Miss Megan, in 20 years of being saved, I've made a lot of big blunders, a lot of big mistakes. And I've done a lot of things that I've regretted that have broken my heart. But in 20 years of being saved, before I got saved, I could cuss the wallpaper off the wall. If you didn't like it, I'd tell you about it. But since I got saved, Brother Wesley, in 20 years, there's been about three times that I have a conscious memory that I've ever said a four-letter word in 20 years. Now, Brother Jesse, when I did, it broke my heart, and I'm real sorry. I didn't mean to. But you see, I'm not content to abide in that. That's evident by the fact that I don't do that on a regular basis. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, if you cuss on a regular basis, you're obviously content to be able to do that. If you look at pornography and some other man's wife on a regular basis, it's obvious that that don't bother you, and you can be committed to it. Well, the Word of God tells us that if you can be content to be in your sin, you're lost and you're unregenerate without God. There's a problem and there's a remedy. I don't have a three-point outline, a funny story, or a conclusion today, but I'm going to tell you a simple, simple gospel message that lets you know that if you've ever truly been born of the Spirit of God, there is a change that's taken place in your life. And you are not what you used to be. There's a need for a change. The Lord Jesus said that ye must be born again. Amen. It's necessary, absolutely necessary, that there be a new birth. That the reason for that is very simple. There's something wrong. There's something fundamentally wrong inside of every child that is ever born into this world. There is a sin nature in you. Now, look in Numbers 21 real quick. Numbers chapter 21 and verse number 4. This gives us a very, very simple little picture. I won't take but a moment. I'm not going to be long this morning, but I want you to see this. Numbers 21 and verse number 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea and to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread." That's where you get your word light bread from. This light bread that they loathed was the manna that God sent from heaven. It was a kernel or grain that they ground into a powder like flour and baked a bread type substance with that they ate. And they said they loathed that, Daddy. That meant they despised it. It had become loathsome and despicable unto them, and they were just tired of eating it. And Brother Ricky, what they were really showing was what was really in their heart. And they were tired of following God through this wilderness. The people spake against God. They spake against Moses. "There's no bread, neither is there any water. Our soul loatheth this light bread." And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. What most folks fail to understand this morning, no matter how well educated you may be, no matter how articulate you may be, no matter what society ranks you come from this morning or the who's who of this world, when you're born into this world, you are born with a poison in your veins. You've been bitten by a serpent. That all started in the Garden of Eden with your mother Eve and your daddy Adam. There was a snake bite that took place in that garden. And because you were born after the similitude of Adam, you have that poison in your veins. Now, there's nothing you can do to argue with that. That is a fact. Man needs to understand that there is a problem on the inside of you. Listen, this morning, man cannot be satisfied. There's not enough drugs. There's not enough alcohol. There's not enough illicit sex. There's not enough big houses or fancy automobiles to fill the emptiness in the soul of any man, woman, boy, or girl. That's why you watch folks run all over this country today, and they go to and fro into everything imaginable looking for something that will make them feel better. And listen, the problem is a poison that runs through their veins. And until that poison inside you is cured, there's nothing going to help. Now, they could have ran all around that wilderness and looked for an antidote, Brother Jesse. But God said, "I'm going to tell you what to do. This is simple. Moses, I want you to take brass and I want you to make a brazen serpent, which is an image of that they are bitten by." What is that, Brother Ricky? It's a picture of your sin nature. That's what you're bitten by, friend. Listen, you have a sin nature. Amen. And I see folks all the time claim to be Baptist, claim to be saved, born of the Spirit of God, and they've never got any help with their sin nature. They're still lost, Brother Jesse. There's still something on the inside that is destroying them. That's why the whole world today is looking for something. The entire world, as I look around, and I came through Chicago yesterday, and it breaks my heart every time I get near those large northern cities. Brother Jesse, the people are so rude and so arrogant and just full of themselves. And I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. And I see that everywhere I go, and I get those large northern cities, and they're miserable. They're miserable individuals running to and fro trying to feel better about themselves. And there's a poison on the inside. And that poison is absolutely destroying them. They can't see it. They don't know what it is. Brother Ricky, what that poison is their very simple nature, their human nature that's in them. I've told you this on a lot of occasions before, but I'll tell you again this morning. When I was 4 years old, I went with, I guess, my brother and my sister up to my aunt and uncle's house. And as a little old four-year-old boy, there was a dollar laying on the kitchen table that was there for the purpose of buying eggs. And they sat me up on the table to put my little winter coat on me. And while I was sitting there on that table, it was so enticing. Miss Pat, I just simply reached over and took that little green paper dollar bill and I stuck that in my pocket. It wasn't mine. No one had offered it to me. It didn't belong to me, but I wanted it. Gary, I was 4 years old. I was not an axe murderer. I was not a pedophile. I was not a rapist. I was not any kind of a bank robber. I was an Al Capone. I was a four-year-old boy that lusted after a dollar in egg money. Why? Because there is a nature inside of every human being that causes you to lust for that God said you cannot have. And that is why Adam and Eve took that fruit in the Garden of Eden. There was something inside of them wanting to be in control. You have that today. Every last one of you have that. And if something's not done about it, it will destroy you.
Amen.
It will destroy you, some quicker than others, but it will destroy you. And God very simply told Moses, this is not complicated, Brother Jesse. He didn't tell Moses to go and do some incantation, run around the camp 25 times, but he said, just make a likeness of that serpent that bit them and hang that up on a pole and tell them, look at it. You say, Preacher Mike, it couldn't possibly be that simple. Well, it means a lot. Because that serpent was a picture of their sin. That serpent was a picture of the sweet Lord Jesus Christ. I love Him this morning. I fail Him often. But when the sweet Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, He stepped off of His throne in glory.
Yes, He did.
He took a human body for the space of 33 and one half years. For 33 and one half years, He laid aside His godly attributes. Brother Jesse, it boggles my mind that every single thing that Christ did in His earthly ministry, He did in the power of the Holy Ghost of God, in absolute submission to the will of the Father. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ, according to the Word of God says, wherefore as by one man sin entered in, that's Adam, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. And Adam caused that to come upon man. But you see, if you had been Adam, you would have done the same thing. There's no justification in blaming Adam. But without sin, Brother Wesley, it's impossible to die. It was impossible in the condition that the Lord Jesus lived in for 33 and one half years. It was literally impossible, no matter what physical thing was done to Him. Jesus could not have died. He had no sin, Gary Tilly. And sin, the wages of sin is death. And if you don't work, you don't get a paycheck. And if you don't sin, you can't die. That's the wages. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
And when the sweet Lord Jesus was taken into Annas and Caiaphas, he was dragged from the Garden of Gethsemane, where he had been in such deep agony of soul that his capillaries in his forehead and in his face had literally ruptured. And the sweet Lord Jesus was a bloody mess from the garden. Some 500 temple guards came to that little garden place that night. They arrested the sweet Lord Jesus and they took him for a mock trial before Annas and Caiaphas, both of which were high priests, both of which were against the ordinances and the laws of God, that there was only supposed to be one until the death of the other. They took him from there to Pilate's judgment hall. Pilate didn't know what to do with him and gloried and sent the Lord Jesus to Herod. Herod's men were a band of soldiers that buffeted him and they mocked him and they ridiculed. They made fun and they planted a crown of thorns. They shoved those thorns down on his already bloody brow and those thorns pierced him. And the Lord Jesus became a bloody mess. They blindfolded him and struck him with a reed and said, "If thou be the Son of God, prophesy, tell us who smote thee." The Lord Jesus, as a lamb before shears, was dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus knew very well what he was doing that night. Jesus was prepared to be the sacrifice. He was prepared to be the antidote for the snake bite. He was there to be the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. A little lamb to be slaughtered was taken from Herod back to Pilate. The Jews screamed, "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children." They so hated him, they literally ripped his beard out of his face. The Word of God says his vestige was marred more than the sons of man. And since that literally means that Jesus Christ was beaten so severely that you would not have even recognized that he was a man, they took him from Pilate's cold judgment hall toward the northwest corner of the city. They stripped the Son of God of every stitch of clothes that he had. They mocked him and made fun of him. And they beat him along the way. I'm sure men cursed and threw stones. They didn't give him even the simplest little human dignity as to let him stop somewhere and go to the bathroom. They made a mockery of him publicly and beat him and scourged him. They took him to Calvary's Hill, and all of the religious Jews that so despised him, so hated him, stood back and jeered and said, "If he be the Son of God, see if God will come and save him." And Jesus tenderly, lovingly laid his arms stretched out on that cross and let a cruel Roman soldier drive cruel spike nails into his hands. Stood that cross up with a thud, and the Son of God that spoke worlds into existence was suspended between heaven and earth. And the Word of God says Jesus was like a worm. He literally wiggled up and down on that cross as he was suspended there by a spike nail driven between his feet, one in each of his hands. And you already know the death of the cross. It's not a death from bleeding to death. It's a death of asphyxiation, Brother James. A man literally pulls the muscles in his chest. They so begin to press in on his chest cavity and begin to constrict his lungs that a man can't take in a breath. And like a worm, Jesus, the sinless Son of God, wiggled up and down and would try to get a breath on the cross of Calvary. The Word of God said from the sixth until the ninth hour there was a darkness upon the face of the earth. And Almighty God mounted the pulpit, and God did not allow this ungodly world to see what Jesus suffered for those 3 hours, Brother Mark, as his soul was baptized in hellfire, because Jesus Christ literally became my sin.
Yes, sir.
And your sin. Every little four-year-old boy that ever lusted for a dollar in egg money nailed Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary. I suspect you have more than a dollar in egg money hiding in the recesses of your soul today. But it was for a four-year-old boy and a dollar in egg money that the Son of God hung on that cross. Not some little effeminate long-haired Jesus like the Catholic pictures with the little blood. A man so badly beaten that you would not even have recognized that he was a man hung on that cross. And he cried, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And for the first time in eternity past or eternity future, for those 3 hours, Jesus Christ the Son and God the Father were separated in their fellowship, Brother James. Jesus did not know what it was like to be without the fellowship of the Father. But the Father could not look upon the Son that day, for he had stolen a dollar in egg money because he took my sin. I don't know what he took for you, but I know what he took for me. All the beating, all the scourging was bad enough, but now the Word of God said strong bulls, bulls of Bashan, compassed him about. That literally means the demons of hell. And if you've ever been saved by the grace of God and been in a demonic warfare, you know what I'm talking about. Have you ever been in a place where you felt the demons thick as hops and you knew what it was? And those demons literally swarmed the head of the Son of God and screamed in his ear, "You're a fool, you're a fool, you're a fool. You're dying for people that'll never trust you, they'll never love you. They'll never be what you want them to be, and now we're in control. You're a fool, you're a fool, you're a fool." And finally, at the end of that long day, the sweet Son of God said, "It is finished." That's the Aramaic word tetelestai, Brother Jesse. Tetelestai. It is finished. What was finished, Brother Mark? The penalty for all my sin, Brother Jesse. Every time I ever cussed God, every time I ever had a wicked thought or a wicked imagination, every vile deed that I ever did, every time I ever cursed God, brother, the Word of God said, Jesus said, "It's finished, it was paid for." Finished. Over. Gone. What do you have to do to be able to enjoy that forgiveness? What did he tell Moses? Tell the children of Israel, look and live. You know what? I can imagine some say it just couldn't be that easy. I mentioned this the other day, and I believe this with all my heart. You know why some of you will die and go to hell from this room? Because you will not look. And you will not live. You know why you won't look? Because you don't want to see your sin.
Yes.
Right. You don't want to see what you did to Jesus. You think you're better than that. And that's why you'll go to hell. Because you'll never see what you did to the Son of God. Brother Jesse, I did that to him and you did that to him. But he loved me so much, he did all that so he could change my life. And 20 years ago, in a little old trailer on the Fair Plains Road, I looked. Brother Wesley, I was so beat down. My sin had tore me up, messed me up so bad. And I was in such a predicament. And I needed some help for my snake bite. I didn't know much what to do, Brother Mark. I didn't know much about how to pray. Didn't know much about much of anything. But I knew I needed to get to Jesus. I knew I was in trouble. I sat down on that couch and I asked him to forgive me. Do you understand what he went through, all that he went through on Calvary's cross for? Why did he do that? So it could forgive you.
Yes.
Miss Shauna, so he could say it's finished. And when you trust him, when Jesus said it's finished, it's finished. There's nobody can ever bring it up again, Brother Mark. Yeah, but you don't know what that Mark Woods done. Jesus said it's finished. Yeah, but you don't know how wicked that Jesse Stafford is. Jesus says finished. Yeah, but you don't know that Nita's heart. No, it's finished. Jesus said it was. Brother Ricky, he done took all the blame. He done took all the punishment that was ever going to be dealt out for my sin. He took it that day. And it's finished. It's over. And I get to enjoy what he did because I looked and now I live. And it changed me forevermore, made me different. When I saw him, I saw myself on the cross of Calvary, and I understood for the first time what all this about Calvary meant. It meant me. It was my sin. It was my degradation. It was my filth. And that's what Jesus did. Took it all from me. Thank God now I don't have to. What a shame. What a shame for Jesus to have paid for your sin, Miss Pat, in so much that he said it's finished to tell us that. And for you to be so ignorant and be so arrogant as to say, I'm better than that, I'll take care of it myself. I'll be a good person. I'll do good works. I'll go to church. I'll be baptized. I'll do this or I'll do that. I'll straighten up. I'll turn over a new leaf. I'll be a new person. Watch me. I'm going to shine like the stars. How offensive to a holy God. When all God wants you to do is see what you did to Jesus. Friend, if you ever really see what you did to Jesus, it'll change you. It'll make you different. You ever really see, you say, well, I'm going to tell you what. Folks that don't change, they ain't never really seen Miss Nita. They ain't seen it. They may think they have, but they ain't got a hold of this thing. They've never really seen it before, but I've seen it. By faith, I saw what the Son of God did for me. By faith, I saw what he did for me. I know where I was. I know where he brought me from. Bless his holy name. I know what he did for me. I know what it cost him for my sin. Thank God. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. Exactly right. Brother Mike, how could a loving God ever put anybody in hell? Because he's holy and you ain't going to make fun of his son. He's already took his wrath out on Christ on the cross of Calvary. And if you won't accept that, there's no other place for you. That's how you got saved. Miss Shauna, you tell me you got saved. And if you did, hallelujah, that's good. That's how you got it. Miss Megan, you tell me you got saved. And hallelujah, if you did, that's how you got it. Brother Jesse, you've been telling me you got saved. If you really did, that's how you got it. Hey, there's only one way to get it. You got to see what you did to Jesus. You got to see what you say, preacher, I'm a pretty good person. Well, you're going to die and go to hell then. Because Jesus don't save anybody but sinners. That's the only kind he saves, Brother Jesse. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Brother Ricky, if you don't ever get lost, you can't get saved. But I got real good and lost, Brother Jesse. God loved me enough. He said, praise God, that's what I died for. That's what Jesus died for, Brother Wesley. He saved sinners. He stole dope heads. He loved me. He loves you. He wants to help you, but you're going to have to see what you did to him. You say, preacher, I'm really not all that bad. You will scream in hell.
Amen.
You will. Because you can't see it. You can't see it. And we've taught, and I watched this week, and many of those Western pastors, they teach reformation without regeneration. They teach their kids how to be better people, to learn all of the little religious do's and don'ts and all of that kind of stuff. And they raise them up, Brother Jesse, thinking they're really pretty good. No, you're not really pretty good. It was because of you Jesus had to die on the cross. Until you can be humble enough before him to admit that you are the very one who nailed him to that cross. You'll never get any help. Boy, you're going to have to be honest. You're going to have to come before God honest. I love you this morning. I've done my best just to give you a simple little gospel message. Well, Mark didn't have 3 points or an outline or a conclusion or nothing else. I just had a burden on my heart to tell you. You got a disease running through your veins this morning. The antidote's Jesus. And you got to go by faith to the cross of Calvary. You got to see. By faith, when you get to that place, it's as simple as just trusting Him. You say, would He really do that for me? Sure He did. Sure He did. Miss Allie, salvation is not doing a rosary and a bunch of Hail Marys and running around the church and hooping and hollering. Salvation is trusting that Jesus did that for you.
Exactly right.
Brother Ricky, Miss Diane, it's not in the religious Baptist do's and don'ts. It's in trusting Jesus.
Amen.
Well, it's so simple, Brother Mark. We'll trip all over it and never get hold of it. Could He really love me that much?
Sure.
He sure did. I didn't say you have to understand it, but I'm sure going to enjoy it.
Right.
He loved me. He loves you.
Right.
What a shame to go to hell as much as God loves you.
Right.
You say, preacher, I'm afraid. Boy, you don't have to be afraid of a Savior who loves you that much.
Yes,
you don't have to be afraid of a Savior that cared enough to bleed
Amen.
And die for you.
Amen.
Well, I've done my best to magnify Him this
right.
morning. If He speaks to your little old heart, why in the world would you push Him away?